And if you can, I'm going to ask that you remain standing as we read from the gospel. And the gospel reading, the first gospel reading, is from Luke's account of the birth of Jesus. And we read from Dr. Luke's gospel, starting chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord hath made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks
be to God. And now for our second scripture reading, coming from Gospel according to John. And once again, if you are able, please stand for the reading. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together on this most holy night of the year be pleasing and acceptable to you. For we ask it in your Son's name, who was born on this night, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, here we are, the last of three Christmas Eve Sunday services. And I have to say I'm impressed that some of you have been to all three Sunday services today. If you are like me and Gabe, you have no choice but to be at all three services. But I see that people like Larry and some of you have been to all three services. Thank you. And so with all the stores closed and just about everything closed for the evening, we can safely say that we have arrived in our journey, this journey of Advent called Preparing the Way for the Miracles. But our journey really doesn't end here. It just sort of pauses for a moment in that little town called Bethlehem. And tonight it's all about the miracle of Bethlehem, the miracle baby. But do you ever wonder why God came to us as a baby? Well, let me tell you, a long time ago in a Galilee far and far away, for those Star Wars fans, when Quirinius was the governor of Syria some 2,000 years ago, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered, and the leaders of Israel would have laughed at the idea that God was coming to us as a baby. After all, they didn't want a baby. For centuries, they were hoping for and praying for and longing for some sort of Messiah, a hero, not a baby, but a military hero. And of course, they thought they had found one in Judith Maccabeus, but that didn't work out to be the case. But they continued to wait and pray for the Messiah who would really ride on the back of a stallion, holding a sword in one hand and spear in the other, a strong military figure who would drive out those wicked Romans and restore the kingdom of David. After all, how did they refer to him? "O thou son of David," right? David was a military hero, a king. And so they wanted a powerful figure, powerful person like David, a king. But a baby? No. That's not what we are waiting for. That's not what the people were asking for. "But for unto us a child is born this night, and in the city of David a Savior, a baby." Now, why would God do it this way. You know, through this innocent, powerless infant, born in a manger with a trough of hay in a back alley to a teenager surrounded by animals and a powerless carpenter and a handful of third shift shepherds. There are some things that don't make sense in this Christmas story. Like, why Mary and Joseph? Why in Bethlehem? Why a baby? Paul Scherer, a preacher and a teacher, says, when God entered the world, he walked down the stairway from heaven with a baby in his arms. But why? Why on earth would God do that? Well, let me offer three suggestions as to why I think that our Messiah came to us as a baby. And if you don't like the answer, if you don't think it's right, you know, you can go home tonight and discuss it with your family and friends and see if you can come up with better answers, better suggestions. And if I think yours is better, I will use it next year's Christmas sermon. How's that sound? So, but again, why a baby? Well, one word to start us off: incarnation. The birth of baby underscores the reality of incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, we are told by John. The word in Greek is logos, means the mind. In the beginning was the mind of God. And the mind, the Word became flesh and lived among us. And it was not some, you know, disembodied spirit or ghost or hologram or some spirit, which, by the way, a lot of first century Gnostics believed that Messiah was just a spirit. He may appear, you know, like us, walked like us, but was really a spirit. That's what some believed at the time. Now, had that been the case, there would be no Christmas story, right? No real birth story that we know of. If and however the Word became flesh, and then unless I missed something in my biology class, I don't know any other way to have flesh to get here. I know I only got C in my biology in college, but do you know any other way for flesh to get here? The same way you and I did? The Word became flesh? And why is that important? Well, if He is our pathway to God and to whom we pray and know that He was born as we did and lived as we live, to hurt as we hurt, to feel as we feel, that means He knows and understands us. He knows what we are going through in this life. And that means when He is listening to our pain and our hurts, when we finally fall on our knees and shout out to God sometimes, God, have mercy on me, because I don't know how much more I can take this stuff in the world. Then there is always someone who says, I know what you're going through. I've been there before. I've been there myself. Incarnation. That's incarnation. As you know, my father has been really struggling with his dementia and early Alzheimer the last few months. And he has fallen a few times in the last couple of months. And about 3 weeks ago, he really had a bad fall, which put him in the hospital. And a couple of weeks ago, he was sent to a rehab center in Riverside that I am very familiar with. Because I have to tell you, I don't know how many times I have been inside that rehab as a pastor in that area for the 20 years that I was the pastor. But on that day, when I walked in, not as a pastor, but as a son, it gave me a feeling that I just could not describe in words. I now know even more what it's like to have your parents in such place and what people go through in times like that. I've been there now. Not only that, I know a preacher back in the East Coast. I lived in the East Coast for a while, and he lost his wife and his children and his job all in 1 month. One day his wife told him, you know, I can't be your wife anymore. I can't be a pastor's wife, and left with someone else. And she took the kids. Now, I don't know the whole story, and I'm not trying to judge one person over the other. But he, my friend, was obviously devastated, and a few days later, his church decided that they couldn't take another scandal, so they let him go. And so he fell apart. I mean, who wouldn't? And he became angry, bitter, certainly a dark time in his life. His friends prayed for him and rallied around him and helped him. Finally, he got his life back and doing wonderfully now, and he met his new wife and the new church and doing better than ever before. And as much as he is grateful toward his friends for helping him, he says what finally turned his life around came to his door one day when an old gray-haired retired pastor knocked at the door, and he said, I don't know you, but I know what you are going through. Because I've been there before myself several years ago. I went through the same thing myself. I know it hurts. Incarnation. And there he found the courage and the comfort to survive and begin again. The Word became flesh, not as a ghost, not as just a spirit, but as a baby, and grew into human being, blood and flesh. In fact, there is a verse in the Bible that says he was tempted as we do. He experienced as we do. Of course, he is the perfect one, but he was fully human as well as fully divine. He heard as we heard. He knows what it felt like getting betrayed by a friend and followers. And so when our Messiah says, I know what it's like to be you, I know what it feels like when you heard, we know that there is someone who understands who happens to be God. And in that moment, we find courage and comfort to find strength and keep going. Second, why baby? Because this is a way by which God calls us to be that spirituality, of knowing the spirituality of childhood. Let me explain what that means. A few years ago, I received a request from a young mother if I could baptize her daughter on Christmas Eve, and I told her, sure I could. And I remember saying on that evening, you know, oh God, she is the visible symbol and reminder in our midst what grace and what we were created to be. In fact, Len Sweet, preacher and professor from Drew Seminary, said, Christians are to mature into childhood. We need that more than ever before. What does it mean? Well, I don't go to Starbucks often as I used to now because I've begun to like Pete's Coffee more in Thousand Oaks, okay? But one year during this time, I remember walking into some local Starbucks in Riverside with you know, holiday decorations up, and they had these window banners made of cardboard boxes. They were beautiful, and they had these little messages from the little ones, the kids. And one, I remember, says, I wish for peace. I wish for toys. I wish every day was holiday. And in one window, the banner says, I wish grown-ups could remember being kids. I wish grown-ups could remember being kids all over again. And I don't know who wrote that, but they have pretty good understanding of what it's all about, Why baby? Well, it's calling us back to being a kid, a child. And when I hold the children for baptism who are without, you know, the arrogance or the prejudice or the hatred, it is God's way of calling us back to being a child in His kingdom. These children who doesn't know how to hate, how to hurt, but just simply know how to trust and love. Unto us a child is born this day in the city of David, a Savior. Someone said, baby makes days brighter, nights shorter, homes happier, wallets thinner, the past forgotten, and the future worth living for. Isn't that what baby Jesus did for us on this night? Making our lives happier, brighter, our relationships better, life worth living for. Jesus says that unless you are like these children, you have no part in my kingdom. So learn to grow into the spirituality of childhood once again on this night. Third, why baby? Why this way? Because I think the birth of baby is the most powerful and clearest illustration of God's unconditional love. We call it grace. Unto you a child is born. Now, what does that mean? Again, in a manger, in the dark, surrounded by animals, few shepherds, baby too young to accomplish anything, to please God, to earn God's favor, to think theologically. Baby too young to even know that there is God, but it is in that moment God says still, I love you, I claim you. Not because the baby has done anything, not because the baby is perfect, but simply because the baby belongs to God, because you are mine. I call you, I claim you, because you are mine. Not because you have done something right for me yet. Not because you have done something good for me. Just because I love you. And that's our story. That's your story, my story, Christmas story. No matter how imperfect we might be, how broken we might be, it is always, I choose you. I love you, not because you earned it, but because I choose you first. And when that sinks in, that great passion of God's love can make us into being the special person that God had intended. That's what it's all about on this night. You know, it's been a while since I read any kind of bedtime stories to my kids. I'm looking forward to when my grandkids, you know, show up. Not too soon, but but I remember, and I didn't grow up here in America until I was in high school, and so my parents didn't read those, you know, bedtime stories in English. But I do remember reading some of them to my own kids, my two sons, when they were growing up. And one of the great children bedtime stories is called Clifford, the Big Red Dog. Remember that story? A great story, isn't it? And you know the story, the Emily Elizabeth. She wants a dog. And so she went puppy shopping with her parents. And they went through all the puppies, puppy by puppy. And each time Emily would say, this is not the one. This is not the one. And she go through all of them. And she finally asked, well, isn't there any more? Well, there is one left, but you probably don't want it. And Emily says, that's okay, I want to see it. No, you don't. Yes, I do. And there's this scruffy, you know, ugly, skinny red thing. And Emily says, Mom, that's the one. Dad, this is it. this is the dog that I want. And her parents said, no, it isn't. Emily says, yes, it is. And they try to talk her out of it. But Emily kept saying, no, that's the one. And finally, as my boys were ready to nod off to sleep, I would read that line. I looked at puppy number one, and I looked at puppy number two, but puppy number three was made for me. No other puppy will do. And they say, but he will always be small. But Emily says, well, that's fine. He needs me. Most of all, when you read that story, you always have hope. Because it isn't just Emily's story. It is about God's story. And you know the rest of the story. Clifford became biggest, strongest, and smartest dog. Because Emily Elizabeth loved him into it, grew him into it. And this is the way God loves us. And so tonight we ask, why a baby? Why a baby? And I hope those three, call it a suggestions or my thoughts, would help you to understand why God came to us as a baby. Tonight it is all about God's love for this world. For you and I. He loves us so much that he gave his only son. Not because we earned it. Not because we deserve it. But because he simply loves us. And because he wants to be with us. And so once again, on this night, we say, thank you, God, for coming to be with us. Amen.